Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And Psalm 127 together. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Would you welcome Ivy, please?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to the Almighty and let's praise his name. Lord, we're so grateful for the freedom to come to church. We thank you for the gas in our tanks to drive. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that give us encouragement. And most of all, we thank you for coming here to bless us as we bless and worship your name. In Jesus' name, bless the word and meet the needs of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to have all the ladies that came to coffee with girlfriends, I want you to stand real fast. If you were there, I want you to stand. I want you to know these women are mighty women of God. It was awesome, wasn't it, girls? And we met the Lord there. You may be seated. We had the biggest crowd we've had, and there were 53. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I had a whole handful that emailed me and said, I want to come, but I can't. So can you imagine what it's going to be next time? We may have to pull out some tables, leadership. We may have to get some more chairs. But God bless you. New Song, you're in a good spot. Because when you've got women of God that are praying, it's in a good spot. And when you've got mighty men of God, and let me tell you, our men support us. You just wait till Mother's Day weekend. Those men come out and they support us. They are powerful men of God. So we are blessed in this house, aren't we? That's the reason why you can freely invite any of your friends or family to come see us, because it's a good place, because the Lord is the utmost number one person here. Amen. Luke 8:46 says, but Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me. For I felt healing power go out from me. Is that going to be you this morning? Deliberate is the word I want us to think about as we journey through this message this morning. I want you to be deliberate in your heart as you're introspective and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the little details in your life. And there'll be a moment the Lord will download something just because he wanted it said, not because I'm just a human element. You know, if we can get ourselves out of the way long enough, that God will actually move and give us something wonderful. And so he's going to download something very precious for you. And I want you to have your pen and your paper ready. You've got a little handout out there, and we'll later be referring to the questions. But the minute God downloads something in you, I want you to write it down, because you need to refer back to that, because this is going to be faith building for your walk, okay? So Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me. Who was that? This morning, I want you to deliberately touch Jesus. We're going to journey through and we're going to look at and discuss what it is to be a watchman on assignment. Now, the word watchman isn't something that we really hear a whole lot of in these days. That was more of an Old Testament word that some of the old prophets talked about, such as Ezekiel and Isaiah. But this morning, we're going to take a look at it and see what it has to do for us today. Number one, we're going to talk about keeping the watch and standing guard over our own heart and over our own mind. Keeping the watch and standing the guard over someone else by intercessory prayer. And then keeping the watch and standing guard to have our sights set for the coming of the Lord. Let's look at the word watchman. Let's define it. And the Hebrew word for watchman is safah. It means to lean forward. If you're leaving for, how many of us that we've gotten a little older and we've had to get trifocals, we've had to move forward just a little bit. Anybody with me here? You move forward, peer into the distance. By implication, it means to observe, behold, spy out, wait for, keep the watch, to watch for messengers, unusual activity, or mostly, importantly, any sign of the enemy or approaching army. That was back in the day. We're going to look at a little picture here. And I think Daryl, see, Daryl, we're preaching this together, aren't we, brother? See, look at that. He's right with me. This right here is a little watchtower. And this one, actually, it may even still be there. I know as of 2007 in the hill country of central Israel, it was still there to watch and warn of approaching danger. You know, the ancient world of agrarian societies, they had these large watchtowers. And they had specific people in their communities that were deemed the watch person or the watchman. And their job, number one, was to look out for the fields because this was their sustenance to survive. And so they had to watch and make sure animals, wild animals. I remember we used to have foxes that were forever wanting to steal all of our eggs. Anybody have that grow eggs? Anybody? Nobody has chickens? Okay, we got some chickens over here. Do you have any foxes that try to get a hold of yours? No, no. Raccoons, okay. What? Your dogs. Well, you know, the watchman. I guess you guys know what it is to be a watchman if you won't have any eggs. Okay, well, the watchman was always watching for, you know, animals or any thieves or somebody that's going to try to get those big old ripe tomatoes and those wonderful potatoes and carrots out of the ground, okay? So, but there were other uses for watchmen, but it was a critical role for the townspeople to have that person not fall asleep on the job. I mean, wouldn't you be aggravated if all the potatoes were gone? Now, that just would not be a good thing. I like potatoes. Who likes potatoes? We'd be really aggravated. Okay, guys, you have gone to the restaurant and you've ordered something and they said, we're out of it. And it was your favorite thing. And you got pretty aggravated, huh? Key lime pie, that's right. Lee and I, we had our sights set for key lime pie the other day when the group went out, and I'm telling you what, it wasn't there. I wanted to go find some, did you? But you know, our watchman's got to be on the job back in those days, okay? But there were other reasons, too, to have a watchman in the community because they had fortified walls because there were enemies out and about. And so part of the other deal was to look out. It was a fortress about them to protect themselves. And so if a threat appeared, this watchman would sound a warning. In other words, sound an alarm, and the town would shut their gates, and they would all come together and prepare for battle, all at the warning of the watchman. And it's getting more critical. It's going from our food to our actual being able to live. And then the last thing is that they would stand vigil. And life was boring, nothing was happening, no raccoons and no foxes, and it was just life. And they watched the mundane practices of the people as they went about. I'm sure they knew everything about everybody. But the watchman's job wasn't to tell it. It was only to watch. But, you know, we also in the Old Testament had another type of watchman, and that was Ezekiel and Isaiah were the prime examples of that. And their job was to hear from God, and they didn't go looking for that job. In fact, they heard the Lord's voice call them out, and they were pretty terrified because, be honest, they knew that what God told them most people didn't want to hear because it was revealing the people's sins and how their hearts had turned away from God, and God would use them to speak to the people and warn them. Now, I'm so thankful I don't have that job. That was a very thankless job back in those days. But not only did they warn the people, but they also spoke of the coming of the Lord and the Messiah and an everlasting covenant of peace. So now that we've got an idea of what watchmen was in the Old Testament, now let's talk about the New Testament. Is there a word watchman in the New Testament? Does anyone know? There's not. But the word watch is used much more frequent. The use of watch, the frequency has increased a lot in the New Testament. So I want you to follow with me to Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So we're going to start with the subject of keeping watch and standing guard over our own heart and our own mind. Psalms 130 verse 3 says, "Lord, if you kept a record..." Now, I want you to say this with me. I don't know that we have it, but listen to me. "Lord, if you had a record of my sin..." Oh, Lord, I could never survive. The psalmist David said, "Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, oh Lord, who could survive?" Psalms 130, verse 7 and 8 says, "Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin." Something happened to me when I read that. It jumped out to me. The Lord will redeem you from every kind of sin. How many of you have bought in to the enemy's lies that have said, "You might as well give up. Your sin is too great"? Thank you for being honest. I have too. Thank you. I've got a couple over here. Anybody else? Yeah, if we're all honest, we've all done it, haven't we? Yeah. Because we are so burdened down with the choices that we made that it is hard to pull ourselves up enough to even believe that we could have every one of those sins erased. It's true, though. The scripture says he can redeem us from every kind of sin. Every kind. Think of the worst sin in your life and put it in your memory, embed it in your spirit, brand it into yourself, and tell yourself every kind of sin he can forgive. You know, the only sin I know that he can't forgive is the one where you won't call out to him. Amen. He won't make you. He implores you to. He loves you. He woos you. And he puts people up here and says he will forgive every sin. But if you don't choose to, choose to believe and receive that, that's the only sin he can't forgive. So today I want you to brand that in your spirit. He forgives every sin. There's no sin that you've committed that is so bad that he cannot forgive. The good news Not only that he can forgive every sin, but Philippians 4:7 says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Back up here. How in the world do we get this kind of peace? The kind of peace that's powerful enough to not only stand guard over our hearts, but stand guard over our minds. How does this happen? If there ever was a time that we needed peace, it's today. There ever was a time people were in mental, mind-boggling problems, it's today in our culture. A constant attack is on the minds of this generation. According to USA Today Journal Sentinel, the shortage of mental health professionals is in a crisis, particularly for youth, and the demand for mental health services are up. Any mental health professionals in the group? Got one? I've got two, three, four. I've got mental health professionals. Is this just true? It is. It is. We're living in a time where the mind, what we need to protect the mind has become broken down. The wall has become broken down. And what protects the mind? What protects the mind? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Philippians. Let's read more about that chapter we were reading. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In this society, what are we doing? We're so fixated on politics, we're just spewing out poison on both sides. We're so fixated on what's going on that we cannot even think about something to rejoice. We go to work, we're challenged with very difficult bosses. We're challenged from side to side. So we have to become deliberate. Deliberate. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men when you get in that car and drive, Ivy Winkler. Be anxious for nothing, but in absolutely everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. How many of you prayed your worried prayers? That's not supplication. That's just worrying and complaining to God. But when we come to in His presence and we give absolutely everything to God in prayer, supplication, we turn that TV off and we say, I've got to get a hold of life. I've got to get a hold of the life-giving water, and I've got to have a drink from heaven, or we won't survive. We've got to have this. And then we've got to be thankful in the midst of all of this prayer and supplication. Let your request be known to God in this formula. And the peace, there's a promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of your education. All the peace of God that surpasses all of what you've been taught all your life. The peace of God will then guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things, we have a formula. A plan, a behavioral plan. We hear a behavior modification. Well, it's all right here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, if you are not sure, probably best not to say it. Whatever things are noble, this is where we have each other's back. You know, one thing I always love about my sister-in-law, Linda, she's just like my sister. She can see where I mess up. But would she tell you? Nope. She'd pray for me. She might even talk to me. But she'd mainly pray for me. But she wouldn't go and spew my messes to you. but she would hold me up and love me and be noble. And she would see me straighten up. I could preach another sermon on that, but we'll move on. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, oh, we've lost our moral compass there in this society. Folks, let's get back in the Word. Let's get our moral compass sanctified. Because I like to watch certain shows, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what show and how you think it's one of the better, cleaner ones or whatever. Every show, you're going to lose your moral compass on certain values. And you have to have that established. When you go to work, where you just rub shoulders with the world, you know, good is now considered bad, and bad stuff is all acceptable. Don't you know? You need to be tolerant. Oh, never mind. So anyway, let's keep moving. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We've been taught how to think. We've been taught how to behave. And folks, with this behavioral plan in Philippians, if we put that to work in our lives, we'll begin to reap the rewards of Team Heaven. Team Heaven, do you know who that is? That's Jesus. That's God the Father. That's the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead that's been sent to live in us, to guide us, to woo us, to whisper to us, say, whoa, wait, back up. Oh, yeah, go ahead. That Holy Spirit that lives in us, that part of God who lives in us, and then our own will. This team put together is powerful. Because our own will has been submitted to this heavenly team, and then we can reap the rewards. And then all of a sudden, have you ever felt that this is just not even attainable, the fruits of the Spirit? How many times have you read that and thought, oh, that don't apply to me? Well, I don't know when I'm ever going to find those fruits. I don't have any of that, not even budding out in a flower to even start becoming a fruit. Have you ever felt like it's for everybody else but you? Well, the Word of God says, you know, when you put these things in place and you begin to let the Word of God and the way we're taught to think and to be, what we just read, then all of a sudden we see a new walk in God. And we see Galatians 5:22-23 begin to unfold in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, love people you haven't loved before. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's not even a law. And, Rob, when you go to work, and you go to work with the joy of the Lord, does that hit against the grain in your atmosphere? How many of you, when you go to work, yeah? And you have the joy of the Lord. Do you ever have people come up to you and say, what you got to be so happy about? It don't even make sense, does it? But you guys, it's very contagious. The fruit of the Spirit's very contagious. Second area that we're going to talk about. I'm going to have to do this. Sorry. And I thank you, sir, for bringing it. Keeping the watch and standing guard over someone else by intercessory prayer. On the 7th of this year, excuse me, the 7th of January of this year, Pastor Richard preached on Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Do you remember? I know you do, right? No. Not unless you've got a journal right there and you can whip that baby out and say, yeah, I remember it. I think Shasta can. She's got it all down. But I want to refresh her memory. Remember the father who had asked why his son could not be healed and delivered of a mute spirit? How many of you were here that morning? Yeah, so we got a few of you, and for the sake of all of us, we'll peruse through some of the scriptures. This is a story of a father who was committed to watch over his son no matter the cost. Let's review just a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 18. It says, it's talking about this man's son. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, the father says to Jesus, that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, have you gotten frustrated? Even Jesus got frustrated. So you guys, be easy on yourself a little. How long shall I be with you? How exhausting you are, in other words. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought the little boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. You know, I'm thinking about this. You know, that was just one last attempt of the devil to just show himself and try to get a jump on this father's faith. One last attempt to try to drain him of all hope. There are some of you here that God's renewed your hope, but you feel like that newborn little horse on a frosty morning, his little legs, he's getting up to stand, his little legs are wobbly. How many have ever seen that? Little old colt tries to get up, and they can barely get up. Sometimes they fall back down. They finally get up, and they're standing. Their little legs are wobbling. All of a sudden, they realize they can run. They can actually walk. Have you ever seen them? All of a sudden, they kick a little leg up, and they start just running, and they're still wobbling. Well, that's the way we are sometimes. Jesus looks at us, and he understands that about us. Sometimes our faith, that's where we're at. Maybe it was something super hard. You might actually have the faith like a mountain for other things, but there's one particular area. Maybe that one son or daughter, or maybe that one grandson. It's just like hope is gone. And then all of a sudden said, Jesus says, bring him to me. Jesus showed up. He wasn't even there. They were asking the preachers, the disciples, to pray for him, and they couldn't do it. They didn't have the faith. And hope was gone. Then he looks up, and Jesus is there. Oh, my gosh. All of a sudden, hope's coming back. Hope's starting to come back. So he yells out. So the enemy thinks, well, I'm going to take one more swipe at him and try to drain all faith and try to keep this thing from happening and put egg on Jesus' face. You know what? That's what the enemy wants to do to you. But you keep the faith. When Jesus shows up, he's faithful. You keep the faith. So he asked his father. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to your boy? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, he says, if. So no telling how many things and places he's gone to get help. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out in pure desperation with tears, Lord, I believe, kind of like that little colt trying to stand up, but please help my unbelief. How many of you have got something that you're having to believe God for, but you need to say that this morning? Yes, yes, yes. Help my unbelief. Well, I'm here to tell you, he will help you today. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit very easily. He called it by name and said, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. He didn't only say, come out of him, but he said, enter no more. Call the enemy out by name. If you've been calling out your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, a friend, a neighbor, I don't know, whoever it is that you've been calling out to God for, and you see the darkness that's prevailed in that person's life, begin to call it out by name. Call it out by name and bind that unclean spirit through the name of Jesus and cast it away, that they can't come back to oppress and to cause conflict in that person's life any longer. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he, the little boy, became as one that was dead. And the people about thought he was dead. But I got good news, folks. Jesus reached out, took the little boy by his hand, and he told him, come on. Come on, let's get up. You need to go play. You little boy, you need to go play. You don't need this problem anymore. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, get up. You're not dead. Jesus is saying to you this morning that son and daughter are not dead. Believe me, fight and supplicate in the Holy Spirit. Pray, believe, fast. How many of you read this? How many read it? If you didn't get it, it's back there. Isn't it, ushers? Don't we have this? This is called fasting going forward. There are some things, as you're going to see in this scripture, that will not happen except through prayer and fasting. Not prayer alone, not fasting alone, but prayer and fasting hand in hand. If you have something this morning you are very disheartened about in your life, I challenge you to pray and fast. And if you don't know how, I will encourage you to call and we will help you, because I have seen God do miracles. How many of you have? It doesn't need to be my word only. Yes, this is an affirmative. It's an agreement. And for those of you that have never experienced the miracle of God, this is an affirmative. And I challenge you, if there is something that has ruled your life, I'm telling you, there is an answer. And I challenge you to fast and pray. The questions that we have for today for you is, have you taken the position to be a watchman on the wall of someone's life with great determination, being deliberate? Have you become disheartened and grown tired of this commitment? I've got a son in Los Angeles that is a musician. His lifestyle hurts my heart. I purposely don't look at Facebook because it hurts my eyes. But you guys, I've got the faith. I don't care if anybody called me and told me my son was in a wreck and died. I've got the faith that my God has my back and that my kids know the word of God. They know the love of Jesus, and they won't forget when the time is right. They won't forget. And if there are any of you that you've got a grandson, you've got somebody that matters to you who are rocked, their life is rocked with drugs, addiction, sex addiction, to the point their life is so out of whack they can't even hold down a job. Are there any here that you've lost the faith? You have to go and grab it again. You've got to get the word. You've got to read the word. Again, you have to brand it in your spirit and you have to hold on. And that's one thing Addis Mara said yesterday in her message to me in my spirit. The takeaway was, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, folks. God is here to meet you at the point of your need. Have you been tempted to give up hope? Don't do it. Or distance yourself, or even remove yourself from the commitment of being a watchman to pray because you feel like they won't listen. Well, they don't have to listen to you. They can listen to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt that someone was on assignment to watch over you? Maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the one. Maybe your grandmother has held you up and talked to you and talked to you, and you've defied every word she said. But yet deep down in your heart, you had to continue to go looking for her, to hear the words that she has to say, just to remind you there's hope, that you've not gone down the drain so far that there's no coming back up. If you're one, I want you to know you're in a good place today. You're in a good place today because the same Jesus that lifted that little boy up and said, "You are okay, little Johnny, you can go play." That same Jesus is here today to heal you, save you, deliver you from the things that you thought you could never walk away from. He's here. Now, when we fast and we pray, it may cost us something. It may cost us TV time. Do you really have enough of Jesus to turn it off and walk away and go and pull out the Word of God and begin to pray and pull out the words of God that's been branded in your spirit, pull it out and read it again and begin to pray over your loved ones, pray over whoever God lays on your heart to pray for, pray over your enemies. Pray over those that despitefully use you. Pray over those that bully you. Turn off that TV. Can you do it? Can you do it? We're so tired from work. We're so drained that when we get home, it's hard to just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and get up and do it. Now, am I being real? Are you with me? I'm encouraging me and you. Let's draw near to the Lord because God wants to do something amazing. And the last area we're going to talk about is keeping the watch as we finalize things here. Keeping the watch and standing guard to have our sights set for the coming of the Lord. Our verses in our text, we're talking about when you see the fig tree and the branches tender and the leaves are coming out, you know summer's near. Well, that's the way it is with the coming of the Lord. You start to see some signs. How many of you see things that make you feel shaken? Is that pretty much all of us? I can't tell you when Jesus is coming, but I can tell you he is coming. Let's not be like the watchman in Jeremiah's day. It says, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet." Their response was, "We're not going to listen." Or in Isaiah 56:10, that watchman said, Isaiah says, the watchmen are blind and they are ignorant. They can't even see what's coming. You know, this week, I kept seeing a vision this week and I kept thinking, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me?" I mean, how many of you believe a person can have a vision? When I was a teenager, I didn't even know what that meant. That's how I got saved. The Lord gave me a vision. I didn't know what was happening to me. About scared me half to death. But this week, the Lord kept giving me this vision. And I thought, "Lord, is this for me to pray for myself, for my safety? Is this to pray for my children?" I kept thinking my oldest daughter for some reason. And then this morning, when I got to this part of the message I was reviewing, the Lord downloaded in my spirit, "This is why I showed you this." And what I saw was like, how many of you have, you know, when you're driving, you come to a red light or something, and then it turns green and you get to go? Have you ever seen where somebody doesn't heed that on the opposite direction, and they blindside you on the side, except they're going at a high rate of speed? That's actually how my nephew died. Truck driver was drunk, and he didn't heed the light, and he blindsided my nephew, Tim. and was a teenager. But I wasn't even thinking of Tim. I just kept saying this over and over, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there will be people that may feel blindsided today. But there's hope for you. You are not annihilated. And the Lord has a word to us who are watchmen for people he has placed on our hearts to not be a blind watchman, but to keep our eyes open. The scripture here in our text, I've got to go find it. It, in verse 43, it says, Matthew 24:43, it says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. If God has placed you as a watchman spiritually over someone's life, and every one of us are watchmen over our own hearts and our own minds, every one of us, let's not be blindsided. Let's have our eyes open. The word of God says in Thessalonians 4, it says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, Pastor Paul and the choir, if you'll come on up, until the coming of the Lord, until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now listen to this, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, listen folks, if you've ever wondered if there's scriptures that validate the rapture of the church, you may not see the word rapture, but it talks about the coming of the Lord. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those that had already died and that were saints that love the Lord. We're going to get caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with this. 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And the last verse I want to read this morning is Psalms 141. And Daryl, I didn't give that to you. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste to me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry to thee. My mother 2 weeks ago called me. And she said, Ivy, I had a strange thing that happened to me. You can go ahead, folks. I was asleep and your father woke me up. And he said, Bobby, are you all right? And she said, well, I was asleep. I was half asleep. And he said, well, you were laying there talking in a language that I didn't understand for a very, very long time. She said, well, I didn't know it. And she said, well, I fell back asleep again. And she said, the Lord came and visited her in her dreams after that. And the Lord said, I'm coming soon. As we stand, let's stand. I want you to brand that in your spirit. Jesus is coming. Let it be your first thought when you wake up. Jesus is coming. Now, my mama's 88 years old. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe you're just coming to take her on. Well, the next report we get from the doctor, she's just doing fantastic. And I went, Lord, you're trying to remind us. You're coming. You're trying to wake us up. You're trying to wake up my family. She ended up writing a 3-page letter to the children as a heritage to give to the kids. Told them about her dream and told them the plan of salvation and asked them to give their hearts to the Lord. Folks, Jesus is coming. And as our wonderful friend that came and went to the Lord several years ago sang the song, Lord, I cry to thee, make haste to me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. If you need prayer, please feel that you can. We will dismiss you right now to go get your children. We know we don't want to hold you back from getting to get your kids, but at the same time, I won't. The same time, so please feel free to go. If the Lord has spoken to you, the rest of you, though, here, and there's been something, God downloads something in your heart, I want you to go make your way up here. Do business with the Lord, because He's calling us to be a watchman. And many of you have cried out, and I want you to cry out today. You can overcome. You can overcome. There's hope in this house. Jesus will help you today. So I want to open up these altars. Just help yourself. Go ahead, Pastor Paul.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.